Hi, this is Morgan Michael welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness. I believe that we all have an innate need to be seen, heard, and understood. When we dedicate ourselves to kindness, the ripple effects in our schools can be life-changing. Through this podcast, I want to challenge you to question your assumptions, amplify your insight, and embrace a willingness to go beyond the status quo in education. Together, let's learn how to make a big impact, one small act at a time. With the advent of more ethically conscious curricula that challenge the outdated colonialist outlook on history, educators are more responsible than ever for carefully and accurately talking about cultures and ways of knowing that they may not be personally familiar with. In light of the Canadian government's reconciliation efforts with Indigenous people, the way we teach has to reflect a more culturally conscious approach. But I'm not Indigenous, many people say. How do I teach about Indigenous culture? In this conversation, you'll learn specific lessons, books, and approaches to teaching Indigenous ways of knowing in an authentic, integrated way. Hope you enjoy this short, illuminating mini-episode with my esteemed guest, Adrienne Geer. Be sure to check out her full-length Treasure Trove interview. Adrienne Geer has been a teacher in the Vancouver School District in Canada for over 18 years, working as a classroom teacher, ESL teacher, teacher librarian, and district literacy mentor. Adrienne developed Reading Power almost 10 years ago and has been since working with teachers in many different districts throughout the world to bring her knowledge to other teachers. She is the author of 6 best-selling books, including Reading Power and Writing Power, and has just completed her 6th book, Powerful Understanding, helping students explore, question, and transform their thinking about themselves, others, and the world. Find her online on her website, readingpowergear.com, or on social media by searching Adrienne Geer. For more information about her books, book lists, blog, resources, and workshops, visit my website, smallactbigimpact.com, and search for episode number 35. I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes and leave a review. Thank you so much. I would like to talk a little bit about the new curriculum in BC. Like you said, there's a really strong focus on the Indigenous ways of knowing and learning. And can you speak a little bit to our responsibility as educators to provide a wide variety of resources from which students are able to sort of draw these opinions and beliefs and historical understanding, but also understanding that there are many non-Indigenous teachers out there who want to explore the curriculum in such a way that is authentic, accurate, and challenging, but sometimes it can be a tricky thing to navigate. So maybe you can speak to that a little bit.
Sure. Well, as a beginning teacher, way back when I first started to teach, I taught grade 4, and I taught grade 4 for many years, and First Nations or Indigenous kind of coastal Indigenous people or Canadian Indigenous people was part of the grade 4 social studies curriculum. So I taught it a lot, and I taught it, you know, year after year after year. And when I reflect on my teaching of that time, it was very narrow a focus. We picked the different regions of Canada and focused on the Indigenous peoples of that region. Mm-hmm. We focused on the past, and we basically covered their home, their clothing, their food, their hunting, and their sort of art. And it was very literal. And it was, and what it didn't include was their beliefs. It included their day-to-day life, but it did include their beliefs and their values. And nor did it include anything to do with residential schools, because right. that was the curriculum. I was following the curriculum, but it was not part of it. And if you did not teach grade four, you didn't even talk about Indigenous peoples at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. And so now in our new curriculum, what's so important for all of us is that Indigenous ways of knowing and learning and believing are woven in to all of the pieces of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. So every grade, every subject area, I mean, yes, there's a lot in social studies, but also it's woven into the outcomes of in language arts as well, and in the social emotional learning. So we all are in this place of, again, trying to shift the way that we teach in order to bring all of these important lessons into our classroom. But as teachers, especially seasoned teachers who've been teaching a long time, this is a hard thing for some of us to do, because we have to navigate through the resources. Also, we have to know a little bit more ourselves. So we're trying to educate ourselves, mm-hmm. and we're trying to put this into the classroom, and it's hard. And there's also levels of respect that we have to be very mindful of, mm-hmm. being that we're not, many of us are not Indigenous. And so all of that is kind of been conversations in staff rooms, you know, across BC.
Yes.
And also, depending on what region of BC you're in, you may have no Indigenous students in your classroom at all, or you may have the majority. So
that's right.
It's so varied. So I work in a school, and I'm there working with teachers. And one of the ways that I try to support them is we do collaborative lessons, collaborative units. And last year was our sort of first year really delving into all of these new curriculum ideas. And the grade three teachers were wanting to, because in the curriculum, that grade three, it's a very, very big part of their language arts and their social studies. So they're saying to me, okay, Adrian, we really want to do this. Let's plan a unit together and work through. And so one of their goals was, we wanted to use the reading power strategies, but also link it to Indigenous ways of knowing and living. So here's your challenge. And so I'm out with this idea of, how am I going to wrap my head around this, and how am I going to plan this unit? But whenever any teacher asks me, how are we going to do this? How can we teach this? My answer is always, we need to find the books, mm-hmm. because books help to nudge our thinking, and books help to bring content and connections into our classrooms. And so I started to explore this idea of trying to find picture books that would really help help children understand the Indigenous ways of knowing now and believing. And what's interesting is, we did have a very large collection in our school library already of Indigenous stories, Indigenous kind of fables. And we've got, you know, How the Raven Stole the Sun, and those kind of Pourquoi stories of the animals and animal crests. But there wasn't as many kind of more contemporary books that I felt like would be good. So I started to kind of on this little quest. So I found this one book called Thunder Boy Jr. And Thunder Boy Jr. by Sherman Alexie, who's an Indigenous writer, actually wrote most of his books for sort of middle school students. This was his first picture book. So I was really interested in this story. It's this amazing picture book about this little boy named Thunder Boy Jr., but he doesn't like his name. Mm-hmm. He's named after his dad, Thunder Boy Sr., and he just doesn't like his name. He wants his own name. He wants his own name, and a name that he can identify with, mm-hmm. that's his own name. And so it's such a great book for talking about how people are named, what's the story behind your name. Mm-hmm. And while I'm reading this book, I'm starting to think about all the other books that I've read to students over the years about names. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Chrysanthemum, about a little girl who doesn't like her name. The Name Jar, My Name is Yoon, Change Your Name Shop, all these stories, but non-Indigenous characters. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could somehow go through this idea of looking at self, others, and the world, but through this lens of paired picture books. So that's kind of the basis of this unit that I call We Are All Connected. Mm-hmm. And it was one that I kind of designed and developed last year, but it was such an amazing learning journey for me as I tried to find these paired picture books where children were learning about themselves through the books, the topics that I was teaching, using, but also this thread of this theme started emerging through a lot of these Indigenous stories. And one of the big themes, so the pairing of the books, I read a book about names, What's the Story of Your Name? And a lot of students, amazingly enough, didn't know the story behind their name. Who named you, and what does your name mean, and how is it connected to your culture? So that was such a great lesson, because they all had to go home and ask their parents about the story behind their name, and they were so excited about that. So then we went into, so we started with self, and then we looked at family. And then we did family trees, which is more our culture, and family totem poles, which is more of an Indigenous way of telling the story of your family or your tribe or your clan. And then we moved into elders and grandparents. So I read a story about, you know, a Chinese grandfather teaching his granddaughter Tai Chi. And then I read a story about an Indigenous grandmother taking her granddaughter through the fields and teaching her about the different plants and berries that provided medicine. And so I paired these books, but we started to read them kind of side by side. So we started noticing how similar we are in so many ways. But some themes that started emerging was that the Indigenous stories always had this underlying thread of a deep connection to land, mm-hmm. that we don't have and that weren't evident in our own stories. But the other theme that started to emerge through the Indigenous picture books was this deep gratitude for the gifts that the earth gives us. And just an example of a story that I paired, a little girl who has a favorite tree in Quebec, and an ice storm comes and the tree breaks. So her neighbor helps her turn that broken branch into something that can keep the tree alive. So they make a swing from the wood, and that hangs from the remaining part of the tree. So she's always connected to that branch. It's a lovely story. Mm-hmm. The paired book, an identical story, an Indigenous boy with a favorite tree, thunderstorm comes, the tree breaks, he takes the branch, and his with the help of his dad, turns the branch into a mask, an Indigenous mask that he can keep in memory of the tree. But the difference in the books is before they carve the mask, they give thanks to the tree spirit. And so it's this additional piece that in the other story we didn't have. Why is that? Why did the boy and Mr. Frank, the neighbor, not say thank you to the tree for mm-hmm. giving us this life and this swing? But the Indigenous people, they did that. And in about five of the stories, that is evident in coming through. And so the students start noticing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to them, wow, is anyone making a connection about this gratitude? And so what I loved about this unit as it emerged was we learned the values and the beliefs of Indigenous people through these paired picture books. But I felt it was so authentic because in the same way that we're learning that, the students are also connecting to their own lives and yes. their own families and their own beliefs and values. And so it was just a really nice way of teaching what I think we want to be teaching, but in a way of again, using these picture books, but building up this idea of not just that they built Nunavut in the past, lived in igloos. I mean,
yes.
Those things were, you know, that was so surface and
superficial.
So
past, yeah.
So superficial. And so I feel like this was a much better way. Not that we don't want to learn about the past, but it was a much better way of teaching what I think is more authentic to what we want to be focusing on with that Indigenous piece.
I agree. And I think really, really authentic in terms of when, and I think you've mentioned this before, this piece about the gratitude, if you were just to list off the different values that the Indigenous
exactly
people tend to value as an important sort of trait or character trait, that if you were to say gratitude, it just wouldn't ring the same. Like it just wouldn't really have as much meaning as it does for the kids who learn about it when they learn about it in context through story. So I think that narrative piece is such an important thing.
It's so important, and that everything is a story.
This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating a kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.